welcome to Voices of Freedom. Radio. Well, here we are this morning. Can't wait to talk to you a little bit about Jesus. We just always just, it's just the highlight of your day. It gets you started right. Maybe you open up a Bible verse there at the house and start reading a little bit. The next thing you know, you start to realize, you know, some of these things that the Lord's done for you. And the next thing you know, some great things are starting to happen. So that's where we're at here today. It's the verse that I kind of came to mind today, the Lord revealed or brought up, was where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think so many times in this political thing, we're so caught up in, you know, well, I'm going to vote for my old buddy Joe, or I'm going to vote for this one, or I'm a Republican, I'm you know, all Democrats are going to hell, or, you know, however you got that envisioned in your mind. But at the end of the day, there's some biblical things, and we got to be careful of, because all we can do as Christians a lot of times is tell people, number one, and all we can do as Christians sometimes is see the days prolonged, because we can't add days to anything, okay? So there's nothing I'm going to be able to do that's going to add any days to anybody's life. It's going to add any inches to your height to make you a star basketball player or anything like that. So the things that I know God wants us to do, we better get on it and get it done, okay? So we want to get into this morning. It's Proverbs 29:18, I believe, is our verse. And there's a lot, you could probably just go off of what you hear there. Where there is no vision, the people perish, you know. But let's think about it. You know, we've seen so many examples in this Bible. Here we are, 28:19. That's what it was, wasn't it? Yeah, let's see here. I shouldn't log in quite as quick as I do. Proverbs 29. It's 29:18. Okay. Let's just look at some of this. It's chapter 29, verse 18. And verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Okay. You keep the law. You follow the law of the land. You follow especially God's law. And you're going to have just less turmoil. You're going to have just less trouble. Okay. I would hope that if a person gets to the point where they steal, and the stealing's talked about quite a bit in the Bible, that a person would be in a very desperate state to steal. I've heard the old story that they steal to get money to do drugs, and, you know, it's probably true. It's a desperate situation. And, it, you know, probably the first time somebody steals something, you should probably red flag that and say they've got a tendency to do this. So we need to have enough vision to deal with these people and their problems. And it's the same in society. The vision comes by being able to look out here and see that you just can't let, for example, the drug thing is a great thing. I just don't think you can let these people just wallow down the streets every day. I don't think you can say, well, you're better off in your house, in the area that's enabling you to be what you are. I don't think that's it, because the vision for this is that, you know, you remove the elements. If you can't get, you know, the person to heal up, straighten up, get off stuff, you know, you sort of got to change the environment they live in, and that's the drug one. But I want to talk about the vision where, you know, we think that something is free. We look in this Bible and we see so many cases, no work, no eat. We've got so many people drawing some kind of disability check. I mean, we've got a man running for office that says he's 100% disabled. And he's jumping around like crazy and he's doing all this other stuff. Well, how in the world does this kind of corruption happen? You know, it's clearly, you know, a slap in the face to our veterans, the ones that need the help, right? Those that can't bench press 250 pounds, those that can't get out and run up and down the road on a four wheel like a maniac. I mean, we've done so much wrong, and our sin is so great. And there's a couple places in the Bible, like Sodom and Gomorrah, where it said the stench or the smell of the sin has reached heaven. I mean, it just stinks to high heaven, so to speak. And that's sort of where we're at on this thing, and it's just going to have to clean it up. I mean, it's got to go. It's got to go. I mean, I just don't know what else to say. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no rule of law, where there is no expectation of punishment, it's just a wild, wild west. And that's kind of where we're at in this society today. If you've got enough money, O.J. Simpson proved you could get off for murder. But you see what he's lived with and how, I mean, how it's just tortured his life. He's probably been tortured more with his freedom. There's a lot to that. There's a lot to the fact that God's not going to let us go through this life and not suffer, especially when we're doing the wrong thing. Because what did it say? Happy is he that follows the law. Happy is he that does what God wants him to do. Most miserable is the person who chooses not to do what God wants them to be doing. So we could look at this thing a million different ways from Sunday, but at the end of the day, our plan, our God, our way of doing things, the things God wants us to be doing, deal with setting up goals, setting a plan to reach the goal, because it says right there in that Proverb 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, if all I have is a vision for myself, I'm not a very good leader, okay? If my vision is just for what I can get, or what I can get from my family, or what I can get from my close friends who backed me in the election, then I'm not a leader. Okay, I'm a thief. I'm no different than someone stealing a service or stealing something, you know, anything. So at the end of the day, we've got to be mindful of these things. We've got to have people elected to these positions that have a vision. And I know some, you know, they're sold out to the people backing them, and they're, you know, the underlings of somebody else, and, you know, it's good to have a mentor, and it's good to have a plan, but please act on your own, right? Because it's got to move us all forward. You know, it can't be just, man, oh, man, I don't know. But anyway, here's the deal. God put it in the Bible for people to go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth, meaning this. When we get to a point where our society has decayed morally to the point as it has now, it's going to take radical answers. The most cost-effective therapeutic answer for the problems of the world right now is Jesus Christ. Now, you say, oh, I don't want religion brought into this. You don't have the money to confront the drug problem outside of Jesus Christ. You don't have the money to fight the foster care program outside of Jesus Christ. You don't have a way of changing young men and young women in middle school and high school and even as elementary even. You have no way of socially changing their thought process other than through and by Jesus Christ. Now, that's just the way it is now. You want all these programs, you want all this money spent on all this different stuff, but at the end of the day, the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, he's free to people. The people like preachers and Sunday school teachers and people who love Jesus, they want to share Jesus. If you will let them come into these schools supervised in a classroom instruction and teach a little bit of Jesus Christ, right, then what we end up with is we'll end up changing the way that schools do business. We'll end up with changing these kids' lives because they'll get saved. And the next thing you know, you'll change the whole community. Because when kids start getting saved and they go home and talking to mom and dad about it, mom and dad want to know a little bit. And when mom and dad want to start knowing about something, guess what? They start reading. When everybody starts reading that Bible, the whole household gets better. Folks, that's not me making this stuff up. That's years and years of Gideon returns, where what we call a Gideon return is somebody got a Bible around the world, and they sat down after their miraculous recovery by Jesus Christ, and he gave them a new soul and a new body, and, you know, I mean, he wiped their sins as far as the east is from the west. Jesus comes on the scene, okay, and he makes changes in your life. You've got to testify about that. So they wrote that down, and they send those returns, that's what we call them, or those stories, back to Gideon's International. And the story is this. Jesus Christ has the power to save your life. Got the power to turn your life around. So when we think about all these things, you know, of all the things in the world I could do for my community, there is nothing better. There is nothing bigger. There is nothing that can get more to the point, get straighter to the heart than Jesus. How do you know that? Because that's what worked for me. The old song says, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. You know, I'm not, you know, what I preach, and I mean to somebody out there that's lost. I understand what it means to them. But it says in 2 Chronicles, if my people, so He is not expecting the world to change. He don't even call on them to do anything. But he does say that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, meaning that if we do go, and we go in the power of the Lord, that the Lord will bless that, and the Lord will reach out to people through our words that he gives us to say, and people will get saved. That should be just about as exciting as anything in this world. Folks, it's good, good stuff. Because Jesus loves us, and he wants a relationship with us. See, it's not what you think. It's not something you can't live. Well, you could say you can't live. It's because you'd be right. You can't do anything. But when I surrendered to Jesus, no one told me that the Holy Spirit of God would live inside of the person who surrenders to Jesus Christ. See, I couldn't salvage the life that I had. I couldn't do the things that Jesus Christ had me to do or wanted me to do without God himself leading me. So when I look around at the life that I've led plus the life that anybody's going to lead, there has to come a realization in the life that guess what? This is not going the way that I thought it should go. This is not me, or I can't live it, or I can't do it. I have got to surrender. I feel the power of God convicting my soul to make me want to be a better person. And you ask Jesus to surrender. You say, I surrender. I just can't do it. I cannot do it this way. And the Lord will come on the scene, and he'll make changes in your life, and he'll do things for you that you can't imagine. Now, what's the point? The point is for Jesus to come into your heart and to do the things. Okay. For Jesus to do the things that need to be done. Follow me? All I have to do is surrender. Because I can't do a work. There's no works. If I could, you know what the scripture says, if I could work my way into heaven, I'd be bragging and telling everybody, look what I did. And that'd take away what Jesus has done. And what did Jesus do? He took a beating no man could take. He took the most painful death known to mankind. He went into the grave, and at 3 days he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave in the same weekend. That's the power of our God. And he's got the same kind of power to make it possible for you to have power over death, right? The grave won't hold you, and a resurrection to a life everlasting in a place called heaven. Folks, it won't get any better now. There is nothing in this world, that compares to what you get with Jesus Christ, and it's free. Oh, it's free to you. But see, when you stop and think about all the things that Jesus has done to make it possible, it wasn't free for Jesus. in his moment of suffering, the greatest gift in the world is to realize that a man who was fully God and fully man, meaning that he felt every single thing, he died for you. And because he died for you, right, he came back, picked up his life for you the same way. And he did that so you could die to your old life and you could pick up your new life in Jesus and move forward. It's the greatest plan in history. It's a plan that will last for an eternity. Boy, I tell you what, I hope you find Jesus more than anything in the world. In fact, I say that, we've all said that throughout our whole lives, but listen, you don't have to find Jesus. He's not lost. I hope you find yourself. And instead of the prodigal son, it said he came to himself. The greatest thing you'll ever do is come to yourself and realize you need Jesus Christ in your life. When you come to the point that you realize you need Jesus, then you've found something. When you come to the point that Jesus Christ, man, oh man, he's the answer, he's the one, he's the plan. When you come to that realization, well, he wants to talk to you. He wants you to read that Bible. Oh, I can't understand it. Well, you're probably reading it wrong. Most of us have. Start in John chapter 14. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels there that right after the Old Testament. Lots of red ink in there because lots of those words are words Jesus spoke. And just go through and take a look at it, okay? Because Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus has a master plan and beyond anything in this world. Man, oh man. He's got the plan figured out. What are you going to do to respond to it? Jesus has the plan. Where are we in it? Man, I'm in his plan because I've surrendered. I'm in his plan. I've watched him work in my life. I'm in his plan. I do a little something for him, not near enough. But see, when the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, against such, there is no law. When I get saved, God's going to clean on me. He is going to make me want to do things for him. And this Sunday school class is the number one thing I do. For Jesus, I try every morning to come on this program and tell somebody how to get to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. I'm hoping and praying that you'll get there. I'm hoping and praying that the Lord will speak to your heart. And man, oh man, when you get there, whew, what a fantastic day it will be. I hope you will get there soon. I hope that the Lord will guide you through. Have a great day. God bless.